It will be shorter today. We've got the kids in with us, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
My name's Tim, if we haven't met before. And can I just be honest with you? I love this time of year. I know I'm kind of grown up and adult, and it's meant to be all about the kids, but I love this time of year. I love Christmas. I love even when it's stormy and thundery like today. I don't think I can remember a Christmas when we had thunder rumbling. But anyway, good to be here on Christmas Day. Can I share with you a couple of things I like about Christmas? Some relatively surface things, some shallow things, and then some deeper things. I love the food. How can you not love the food? Yeah, the turkey and the ham and everything that goes on it and everything around it and the sleep on the couch afterwards because you've eaten too much. Last year, I remember mentioning to a few people how I just, my favourite food at Christmas time is candy canes, yeah? And now I mentioned that and I said to people, if you want to give me presents for Christmas, you can give me candy canes. Now I said that from the front of church and, I was overwhelmed with candy canes. Kids, I felt like I was almost buried under a mountain of candy canes and had to eat my way out. It was awesome. You could have helped me, could you? I did have to visit the dentist during the year, very expensive visit to the dentist. So this year I've changed my favourite food. It's no longer candy canes, it's now mangoes, all right? So if you want to give me a Christmas present, it's not too late, mangoes, all right? I love Christmas lights. I love when people, you know, go for it and they put the lights up all over their house. I always intend to every year. I get inspired each year and I think next year I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. But then next year comes around and it's a lot of effort to put lights up on your house. Anyone who put lights on their house? Yeah, a couple of people. It's hard work. Now, I'm not sure where the best houses are. I know there's always some around Empire Bay or out on St. Hubert's Island. But I usually go for a drive with the kids, try and find the good places. I put the word out on Facebook a few days ago to get the word about where the best places are. And people directed us to this house in North Gosford. Has anybody been there? Plateau Road. My goodness. The electricity bill. I was taking photos. I was taking photos of all the power cords and the junction boxes. I was just amazed. Seriously, this guy has gone, you have to say, a little bit crazy on his house. He's even done up his garage. You can walk into his garage and there's displays all lit up. It's absolutely amazing. Apparently, he spent about $100,000 on it. And you see why if you go and have a look. Just a little bit over the top. But geez, I love that kind of stuff. I love this time of year because it is, as many people call it, the silly season. You can get away with doing silly things, having some fun, you know, wearing a Santa hat around, putting some reindeer antlers on your car and, you know, being a little bit silly like that. I drove past a fella who was standing out the front of his house the other day watering his front lawn with a hose, dressed in nothing but a Santa hat and a pair of Speedos, right? No, I'm sorry, but that's just wrong. That's taken the silly season far too far. But Christmas is in the air this time of year, and people talk about the Christmas spirit, yeah? And I do think people generally feel a bit differently. I'm not sure if you feel differently. I think people appear to be feeling happier. Yeah, we greet each other warmly, we smile at each other, we attempt to be more polite than we usually are, a little bit more generous, we speak to our neighbours, we shake hands with people we don't normally talk to. There's Christmas in the air, we feel warm, we feel sentimental. We feel sentimental about presents, about the Christmas tree, we feel sentimental about singing carols, we feel sentimental about setting up the nativity scene in our house, that in that special place and looking at it. Generally, people feel a little more positive around Christmas. On all our Christmas cards, we often write, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We want to wish everybody the best for the future. We honestly do hope that next year brings better things than perhaps what this year had. There's positivity in the air. There's the Christmas spirit around. But in the midst of all this, in the midst of Christmas, I can't help, and tell me if you're like me, I can't help but to pause and ask the question, how far does the Christmas spirit really go? You ever ask that question? How deep does Christmas spirit actually penetrate into the reality of life? Because it's nice to feel good, but I wonder whether the Christmas spirit is a relatively surface level experience at a particular moment in the year. On the surface, the smiles and goodwill and best wishes and the sense of hope for the future, but you scratch beneath the surface and I believe you find a very different story a lot of the time. And I want you to think with me for a moment, if you will, about what possibly may be going on beneath the surface for many people, even in the middle of Christmas. I want to speak a little more seriously about things, and I know we've got the kids with us today, and if you've got kids with you, just do your best to hang on to them and listen in, and we'll see how we go. On the surface, I see people happily splashing their money around, happily, generously spending their money on gifts for others. But you scratch beneath the surface of that, and here's what I see. I see the deeper reality of people who are pretty overwhelmed by the burden of all the presents that need to be bought and a little bit stressed and panicky about getting to the shops and buying them. You can actually see it by the way people drive on the way to the shops. Yeah, there's traffic, people, you try and pull in somewhere and chances are you're going to get the hand on the horn from someone behind you. And I say, where's the Christmas spirit? You know, when everyone's stressed in the traffic, you actually go into the shopping centre. I was in Erin Affair this week and kind of fearing for my life with the speed at which people were running with their trolleys, getting presents. I paused for one quick moment just to kind of look at this nativity scene in the window, and I got hit. I got hit by a lovely old lady basically running with her trolley, and as she bumped me, I jumped out of the road, into the road of an oncoming trolley from the other direction, jumped back, and I found myself jumping from one side to the other, literally dodging speeding trolleys, fearing for my life. Yeah? So trying to survive the experience of shopping. I actually think people are pretty panicky and pretty stressed this time of year. And on top of that, there's the stress of all the money that you're spending. You wish you kind of didn't have to spend. I handed my card over to a fella in the shops, and he said to me, as they say, is that check, savings or credit? And of course I said, credit. And he looked at me and said, no other option this time of year, is there, mate? And I ain't a little wink. I'm thinking, yeah, you're saying that to everybody who walks in this shop because everyone's using credit. And it can be the time of year where we're not just stressed about getting all the presents, but we're stressed about the amount of money we're spending and we're going into further debt. I actually think that's the deeper reality for many this time of year. Think about this one with me. On the surface, people are celebrating and having parties. We're getting together with neighbours and friends and family and work colleagues, and we're sharing life together, and we're looking good and feeling good as we do it. But you scratch beneath the surface of all the parties and all the festivities, which are lovely, you scratch beneath the surface of them, and can I suggest the deeper reality for many is actually profound loneliness and depression and fear and broken relationships and family dysfunction. Most people deal with this at Christmas time. Loss and grief for loved ones who are not here with us. Poverty and homelessness and distress. And actually a lack of real grounds for hope that the future will bring anything better than what's going on at the moment. I see signs of this everywhere. You do realise there are more emergency 000 calls put out on Christmas Day than many other days in the year. There are more people attempting suicide this time of year. There is more domestic violence this time of year. The deeper reality, even in the midst of Christmas, and even particularly at this time, is brokenness and pain. One more thing. On the surface, our society appears to, or certainly we long to have what I might call multicultural unity. We long to be a society where everyone gets along. We long to be a place in which you can live and feel safe, where we can look around and see that there is order and peace. That's what we want. That's what is often appears to be on the surface, but you scratch beneath the surface of that, and again, the deeper reality is something quite tragic. We see a fair bit of danger in our society. We see chaos, and like we saw about a week and a half ago, we see violent crime, which shatters our facade of peace and security. what we saw in the tragedy in Connecticut a week and a half ago, I don't want to dwell on it, but I do want to acknowledge it, because this is the reality of the world that we live in. The lives of innocent children snatched away. And I'm not sure how you responded when you heard the news. It broke me. It broke me. Friends, the reality is life today is in a very broken and hurting world. That's what's happening. So how does Christmas offer any real kind of hope? Does it offer any real hope? Well, not if Christmas is just a sentimental thing. That actually doesn't offer any hope. If Christmas is just about setting up the nativity scene and hearing about a nice fluffy story about a baby being born and feeling a bit superstitious about it or sentimental about it, that actually doesn't offer any real hope for a broken and hurting world. And if you're experiencing that at the moment, it doesn't really. But I tell you what, if you get real about Christmas, and we actually see the reality of Christmas, there is very much real and solid hope. Let me explain. Christmas, the reality of Christmas is this. It's the historical account of our Saviour arriving into a very fragile, broken, and hurting world to rescue us. See, if you manage to see through the soft understanding of Christmas, the understanding of donkeys and shepherds and wise men, which are all lovely, and you dig into the deeper reality of actually what happened when Jesus arrived, you'll see that Jesus arrived into a very real world like the one we live in. When Jesus arrived, and I want to dig into the details of this, he arrived into a family where there was the threat of a pregnancy scandal. He arrived into a family where there was homelessness and poverty and fear for safety. Jesus arrived into a situation where there was violent crime and a brutal ruler trying to slaughter innocent people. That's the world Jesus arrived into. That's the world Jesus came into. And hear this, it was the very brokenness of the world that drove his coming. He came because of the brokenness of this world. Let me just mention those three things again. We read from Matthew chapter 2 just a minute ago. Greg read this to us. In Matthew chapter 1, you see the pregnancy scandal. You see Joseph and his response when he finds out that his soon-to-be young wife is pregnant and he had nothing to do with it. Okay? The miracle of God where Mary conceives a child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph sees it and he actually responds like any kind of normal first century bloke would have responded. He assumes immediately that she's cheated on him and she's become pregnant to another man. And he feels, as you would, pain, betrayal. He sees what's coming for them is public disgrace for her and himself. And so he plans to separate from her, divorce her. Quietly. This is the world that we live in, isn't it? A world where there's pain and betrayal and separation and shattered hopes and dreams for the future. This is the very family that Jesus was born into. A very real world. Jesus was born into a family with poverty and homelessness. See, sometimes we can look at the nativity scene with a Mary and a Joseph and a baby Jesus and a little lambie and under the cozy little roof of the stable, and we just think, isn't that quaint? And isn't it authentic? And isn't it just cozy? No, there's nothing quaint about it. Mary and Joseph did not have enough money to travel in comfort. They did not have enough money to afford quality accommodation. They did not have enough money to afford comfort and care. And so they find themselves squatting in a farm shed. Mary finds herself birthing without support or care. First-time parents, young couple, first-time parents, birthing without support and care. That is a recipe for fear and insecurity. This is the situation that Jesus came into a family with young, scared, poor, homeless parents, shattered hopes and dreams. Jesus entered into the real world, into our world. And finally, this one. Jesus entered into a situation where he and his family were fearing for their lives, being hunted by a brutal king. In the passage we just had read, Matthew chapter 2, I'll tell you what's easy to miss. It's easy to miss the scary side. It's easy to grab the nice side about the wise men, the magi, coming, bringing gifts. That's the story we all know. But did you pick up verse 3? Did you pick up how King Herod responds when he hears the news about a baby being born who will be the king? He's threatened. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. He's disturbed because he sees the birth of this child as a threat to his kingship. And he decides to send out a search party, the wise men, to search for the child, which is actually to hunt for the child. He pretends as though he wants to know where the child is so that he can worship the child, says in verse 8, but that's not his intention. We know that clearly as you read on in the passage. Verse 13 actually goes on to tell us that his plan is to find the baby Jesus and kill him. Now, when Herod's plan fails and the search party doesn't come back telling him where the baby Jesus is, Herod launches into something even more horrific. He launches a campaign, which is actually a mass slaughter of every boy 2 years and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas. And that's exactly what happens. It's horrific. Can't even imagine how horrifying this would be. This is history. This happened. A brutal ruler slaughtering innocent children to protect his own power. This is the situation Jesus came into. This is the environment he was born into, where there's crime and fear. Friends, the reality of Christmas is this, that Jesus came into our world, a real world, with real people, really broken. And he comes bringing real and solid hope. And here's how Jesus brings real and solid hope. He dives into broken humanity. He becomes one of us. And he becomes one of us in order to deal with the very core of our problem. And the problem for humanity is actually sin. It's our rejection of God, which expresses itself in a whole variety of symptoms of brokenness, many of which we've just mentioned. But the core problem is sin. And Jesus' own name describes what he came for. His name means that he came to save his people from sin. And how does he do it? How does he save his people from sin? Well, it's not by baking a cake, a Bible cake, as cool as that little skit was. Now, we laugh at the concept of how could anyone be saved by cooking? But think about what Jamie Oliver's attempting to do at the moment. Jamie Oliver's trying to fix people. He has his Ministry of Food. He has his food revolution. He's trying to fix people. But Jesus, obviously, Jesus doesn't come to save people from sin by cooking. Jesus doesn't come to save people from sin by education revolution, as good as that is. Jesus doesn't come to save people from sin by gun control, as good as all those things are. Jesus comes to save people from sin by taking on himself sin, dying with it, dealing with it, and rising again from the dead to hold out real, solid hope. If we're going to get real this Christmas, I say we do two things. I say we own the reality of a hurting and broken world, full of people who are hurting and broken, including you and I. And at the very same time, celebrate the reality of Christmas. Celebrate the reality of the historical event where a very real Saviour comes into a very real world, our world, and offers very real and solid hope by dealing with sin. We sang a song just a moment ago, O Holy Night. I think there's some lyrics in that song that say what I'm attempting to say this morning even better. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Previous to this verse, long lay the world in sin and error pining. That is the world that we live in. But a thrill of hope, solid hope. The weary world rejoices. The world we are living in is weary. It's weary under the burden of sin. It's weary, broken, hurting. That is the reality of life. But there is the thrill of hope, real solid hope. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. A new day comes where our Savior comes, born to bring real hope. Fall on your knees. Hear the angel voices. O night divine, the night when Christ was born. Friends, that's the reality of what we celebrate at Christmas. A real Savior come to a real world to bring real hope. We've got much to celebrate. Let me pray for us. Father God, we are grateful for who you are and what you have done. We have much to celebrate in this season. We want to do two things. We want to own the reality of our hurting and broken world. We want to understand that that is the very thing that drove you to come into it, become one of us, to deal with sin. We have so much to celebrate that you, our Savior, came into the real world to deal with our real problem and offer real hope. Lord, would you enable us to celebrate Christmas, the reality of Christmas, from the right position this year, every day. Amen.